Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning into the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM for the Guadalupe Radio Network. This is our one live and local program that we have every Monday. And my name is Cecil Anderson. The show is normally hosted by Dave Palmer, but he's doing something pretty cool and exciting. So I am covering for him today because it is Thanksgiving week. Of course, we know it's November 25th. Thanksgiving is in just a few days. And Dave is actually up in Kansas right now collecting his daughter Ina from college at Benedictine to come home for the holidays. So I think that's a pretty good reason for him to miss this show, but I know he likes to be here too. But hopefully he's left it in good hands with me. I'm so glad that you're tuning in right now. Again, this is our local live show every week, so we get to talk about things from across both dioceses. And today we've got a good balance. We've got one guest from Fort Worth Diocese, one guest from the Dallas Diocese. But it does have a common theme across the entire show. And just talking about the great things that are happening across our North Texas Catholic community. The second half of the show, we're going to be talking to the director of the St. Raphael Retreat Center, Bertha De Biasiani, and Charlene Neihart, who organized the Dallas Diocese I Give Catholic campaign. And so you're going to learn a lot about that and what's going on. It's their second year participating in this. And then on the first half of the show, in just a few minutes here, we're going to talk to Sam McArag, who is the head campus missionary at St. John Paul II Catholic Campus Ministry in Denton. And we'll talk all about their kind of grassroots program that they started there for ministering to the campus, all the college students there in Denton, and I'm excited to talk about that. But before all that, we have a lot of updates and news of things that are coming up and things that have already happened. So first off, this past weekend, we were really blessed to go out to St. Rita's in Fort Worth to visit them and talk a little bit about Catholic radio. So Dave got to go on Saturday evening to the Vigil Mass with his family, got some great pictures with him and his son and Father Keith, who was very warm and welcoming us. And then I went out on Sunday to talk at the morning mass, and it was really beautiful community. And we go out to a lot of parishes, and I want to say that going to this parish, every person that stopped at my table picked up a bumper sticker and were very excited to put that on their cars. So if you live in that area of town in Fort Worth, I think you're about to see a lot of 11:40 a.m. bumper stickers for our new Fort Worth station, which everyone was also quite excited to hear about because of the 910 signal did not reach them super well in the past. So thank you so much to Father Keith for allowing us to come out and being so warm and welcoming us. We had a lot of fun out there. So if you have a parish that you'd like us to come and visit and be able to talk about Catholic radio, you can always send us an email too. We're always excited to do that. And I also want to talk about Share-a-thon, because that is a thing that is actually happening in just a week. A week from today, Share-a-thon is going to start on Monday, December 2nd, and is going to go Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be a really busy week, but a really beautiful week. Our theme is Rejoice. And there are some really awesome giveaways that we're going to be having during this. So if this is the time of the year that you normally do renew your pledge or make a donation, or you're just looking at what donations you can make before the end of the year, I really ask you to prayerfully consider calling in during the week. The number to call so you can write down and keep for next week is 800-476-3311. And actually, we have something kind of exciting this year, something new that we're trying for this particular Share-a-thon. And because Joe is running the board for me, thank you, by the way, for that, Joe, and he's the one who set this up. Can you all talk really quickly about the texting option? I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this.
Yeah, the texting option is going to be a great way to do it. It's kind of the same as our online donation, but all you're going to have to do is text PLEDGE, P-L-E-D-G-E, to 345-345. Once you do that, you'll get a link on that text message, and then you can handle the donation the same way you would do an online donation. But it's another great way to help support your local Catholic radio station.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to give that out. And thank you for giving us a really easy number, Joe, because anything more complicated than that, I don't think I'd be able to handle. So that's going to be an option next week as well. And here in Dallas, we get to have a call center. We have three shifts of call center during the week. So we have Monday afternoon from 1 to 7 p.m. And then we have Thursday all day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with two shifts, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're pretty much filled up. We have all the volunteers we need for those, but I might have a space here or there, and sometimes people have to last minute drop out. So you can always email me if you're interested in volunteering. You've never done it before. We do have a little too much fun sometimes, and usually, well, it's Christmas too, so we pull out the Christmas hats and get a little bit zany in there. It's what happens when you're answering calls all day. So if you want to join us, we'd appreciate it. But there is a real need that I have in that we are lacking on some meal donors, some people who are willing to pay for a meal for the volunteers and staff during those shifts. So we're still looking for about three of those, actually. So if that's something that you are able to do, maybe you're not able to come out and physically volunteer with us, but you can either send us a check, give me a budget, or you can, and I can send you a receipt and you can send us a check for a meal. And that would be such a wonderful thing for us to be able to feed our volunteers very well, because we like to be able to do that, because well-fed volunteers are very happy volunteers and we appreciate it a lot. So if that's something you can do, please email me kath@grnonline.com, kath@grnonline.com. Again, that's for our Share-a-thon volunteer meals next week. I'm looking for three people to help us with that. kath@grnonline.com. I found out a while ago that having my name in my email does not help people email me because it's too complicated. So the KATH email will go to Dave and I. So we'll both get it. And it's easier to spell than Sissel. So thank you in advance. Again, mark your calendars. Rejoice Christmas Share-a-thon starting a week from today. But before all that, Joe, it is Thanksgiving week, which is really awesome.
It is a great time to get, you know, a little, put on a little extra pounds, and you don't have to feel guilty about it.
Just for the one day, have to have it. I remember there's a priest in Louisville for Our Lady of Lebanon, Father Saad, who I remember he was in one of his homilies talking about how when he came to America, he thought Thanksgiving was just the absolute best holiday because he got to go to parishioners' houses, like, you know, going to down the line to different people's houses and just got to eat food. And he's like, this is the best holiday. Why don't we have this holiday? And I thought that was pretty funny. It's because you think about it, other, you know, countries may not have, they may have something similar to Thanksgiving, but not quite Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thanksgiving. So do you have any Thanksgiving plans?
I do. My fiance and I are going to spend some time with my family in the morning, kind of around the noon hour, and then we're going to go up to my sister's and hang out with my nephews.
Most important.
So that's like the best time.
Don't the Lonies have a different food tradition than maybe most of us?
Yes, we do not do any type of turkey. We just never liked it growing up. So we do chicken egg rolls. And then and we just kind of go kind of a little bit more of an Asian zing to it. It's just a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm hosting Thanksgiving this year. I mean, I feel like I almost always, my family always does, but we moved into a new house, my siblings and I did, and we automatically were like, that means that a few months later we should host Thanksgiving, which really means that the last week we've been frantically unpacking all the things we thought we'd have unpacked by the time Thanksgiving rolled around, but we didn't. And like, we're hanging pictures and trying to make it look like we're a functioning household and not, it's not too chaotic. So that's what we've been doing. But we're really excited to welcome our friends and family over. I love hosting. And that's actually going to be a little bit of my segment on Fruitful Living this week, as a little teaser. If you listen to Morning Joy, which you should be, it starts at 6 a.m. every day, every weekday, I should say. I don't think that Keith would appreciate me saying every day and thinking that he's going to have to be there on Saturday and Sundays. But Monday through Friday, Morning Joy across the Guadalupe Radio Network from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. You can listen to it. And Dave and I each have segments on different days. It's like the only reason that you'll get me out of bed before and on the radio before 7 a.m. But I will be on Wednesday to talk a little bit about that hospitality aspect of the holidays and why it's important to remember maybe those people in our lives who may not have a place to go this holiday season, and reaching out and being the hands and feet of Jesus and making sure that no one is left without somewhere to go for the holiday season. So tune in on Wednesday, where I will dive into that a little bit more. But again, you're listening to The Good News Show here on this Monday before Thanksgiving. I hope everyone is traveling safely. And without further ado, let's go ahead and talk about campus ministry at St. John Paul II Catholic Parish in Denton, which has, I'm going to say it's still a newer church, even though I know it's several years old at this point, but it's still new. And every time I go for confession or anything, I'm like, oh, it's so pretty here. But we have the head campus missionary, Sam Makarag. Hopefully I said your last name correctly, but welcome to the program. Perfect. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about your personal faith journey. You went to UNT and graduated just a couple of years ago. So what led you to UNT? And also maybe talk a little about your faith life. Were you always raised Catholic?
Yes, I went to the University of North Texas for jazz studies, actually jazz trombone, for the first 2 years. And I started dating a girl at the church. She started getting me to come around. I was a cradle Catholic, but wasn't very interested. Mainly went to Mass on Sundays to keep my mom happy. But eventually came around because of that girl. That relationship didn't end up working out, but it did kind of stir something within me to search for what was it that I was looking for in music, what was it I was looking for in this relationship. And eventually when I got plugged into the ministry there, I had enough guy friends and healthy relationships around me to just figure out that it was the Lord that I was looking for.
Mm. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase flirt to convert.
Definitely heard it.
Yeah, you work in Catholic. I was going to say, you definitely heard it. I was like, you know, it didn't work out with the girl, but she kind of flirted to revert. You got back into the church, so it kind of worked.
Yep, it kind of worked.
Well, that's awesome. And clearly, it made such a big impact on you that you decided to stick around and get more involved. And if I'm remembering correctly, so I went to community college, and of course, the community college doesn't have a Catholic campus ministry normally. So I was looking for one. So I actually did drive up to Denton a few times and joined in there. I think at the time they had Focus Missionaries. Is that correct? But y'all have decided to kind of model after that, but you're doing something a little bit different. So can you talk about what's happening with the campus missions there?
Yes. Yeah. We did have Focus Missionaries from the time it was a university parish back in 2012 until just a few years ago. And I really love them. The girl was a big part in it, but the guys that I got involved with in their Bible study and one-on-one discipleship, I can credit a guy named Daniel McKnight, a Focus missionary at that time, to drawing me back into my faith and kind of revitalizing that. But then when I was getting near graduation, Father Kyle said, hey, we're going to start moving away from Focus and we're going to start our own program. I was considering becoming a Focus missionary at that time, and I was taking classes in human resources at the time, and it was about organizational design and change. And I was like, this might be something God is trying to tell me. So I decided to stick around. That was my last senior year when we started our interns, and I started as an intern there. And then the rest is kind of in motion right after that. So that was 2.5 years ago, and I'm in my third year in this position.
Oh, that's awesome. So obviously it's a pretty big change to kind of undertake all that the Catholic campus ministry does. And John Paul II Parish is both a parish that like families attend but it also has, it's right, yep, right off of the UNT campus, and it serves the students. So it's an interesting mix that you have going on there. But what in particular is your role, and what do you do? Like, what does it look like to be ministering to the college students?
Yeah, let me share a little bit on the interesting mix, because it's a university parish. And a lot of campus centers, even large churches right off of universities, they function as only campus ministries. They only do sacraments, only ministries for college students. If I went to St. Mary and College Station and asked them to let me get married there, they'd say, are you alumni or are you a student here? And if not, then they don't do anything for me. But they do a bunch of other stuff. But we're an interesting blend to where it is a full-fledged parish with a large focus on campus ministry. We do have a youth ministry. We do sacraments for other people as well. But the focus is that the main ministry of campus ministry, they get exposed to the entirety of what parish life looks like. So ministering to college students is very beautiful and interesting, because I'm only a few years out, and I've gotten a lot of experience while I was in college of, you know, bringing people into Bible studies, bringing them into the community. But doing it in the context of a parish, I think it's just a much fuller liturgical atmosphere, for one. Maybe if it were just another campus ministry, you might have, Mass once a week, and then maybe once a year a procession or something. But, I mean, we have daily Mass every single day. We have sacraments three times, confession three times a week. And then our Wednesday nights and Sunday nights are mainly for students. So it's a very beautiful time for the college students, because college ministry, in my opinion, of course, I'm probably biased, it's one of the most critical spots, because everyone's old enough to where they can choose to be there. There's a lot of paperwork that's mitigated because they're all old enough. And then also they're going through so much change. They're expecting all this change from the beginning of this semester until the end of this semester, which we haven't even reached. I can already see pretty huge changes in personalities of a lot of the freshmen that I've met.
And of course, it's all being led by Father Jose Francis, who's the pastor there, who does a lot of great work to help
with
that.
Yes, Father Jose Francis.
Jose Francis, so. Yes. And, you know, you talked about the critical time of college. So I actually run my parish's college and young adult group. We're not near a campus necessarily, but they're, you know, it's whoever goes to the parish that is also in college. We try to make sure that they're staying connected. I guess one criticism of campus ministry sometimes could be is that it's kind of a very individual experience, and that you go to college, you have campus ministry, and when you leave college, the church life that you had is going to be very different afterwards. And that might be where, even if people had a great, like, you know, they revive in their faith during college, and then they go back to like just a, you know, a quote unquote regular parish, you know, it might be very different, and they're like, oh, it's not what I was used to in college. And so I think what's maybe kind of a benefit that JP2 has is being like a parish with lots of families in different ages, where people, they can witness to parish life. It's going to be like their life the rest of their life, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, I mean, there are studies on that about people, because campus ministry is really focused on. And so they can be like very, very specialized. But then the follow through of young adult ministry in the in the church generally is an area of a lot of growth.
So. Yeah, definitely. We're talking to the head campus missionary at St. John Paul II campus ministry in Denton, which is right off of the UNT campus. I always say UNT, University of North Texas. I'm like, I'm assuming most people know that, but I'm just so used to saying that. And we're talking about their new program that they've created in the last few years that's kind of homegrown and ministering to the college students. And you're not the only one. There's a couple of other people involved. Is that right?
Yes, there are two other female missionaries, Veronica Pyle and Catherine Fulkerson, with me. Veronica is with me for her second year. We had a guy last year, Josh, who served 1 year with us, and then Catherine Fulkerson, she's in her first year. Catherine was with me on our student leadership council 4 years ago. So we kind of saw the growth up from COVID to where we are now. So it's pretty beautiful working with her.
So on a week-to-week basis, what does your job look like, and what kind of things are you offering for students outside of obviously the sacraments, which are beautiful and need to be present, but what other ways are you getting, like, because it's, UNT is a very large campus and it's got a lot of diverse students. So how are they finding out about, what kind of like social events do you all do? What does a week look like?
Yeah. So our main event is Wednesday night, our community night. Starts with adoration confession at 4:30, mass at 5:30. And then a meal and some type of activity. So it's usually some type of testimony, maybe a speaker, maybe a service project. Maybe we just go outside and we have a recess day. We just have a volleyball and ping pong and a bunch of other stuff like that. So great ways to make friends. That's our main event. But then throughout the week, there are 9 weekly Bible studies going on, a couple co-ed, and then the other ones are just men and women, a smaller group so that you can be seen and known and loved in that setting, explore the Word of God. And then there's, you know, there's praise once a week, there's a men's and women's night once a month. So there's a lot of things going on, but really the thing that we offer is transformation for people to encounter Christ among peers who are seeking to do the same, because the things that we do aren't, you know, novel or crazy, but it's, I believe, the way that we do it. The size of our parish and our campus ministry allows for people to really be seen and known in the broader community. But also, because it's a parish, we have the resources that lets us be able to expose them to a lot of very beautiful content, resources, people, things that help them to take the faith into their own lives. So that's kind of the weekly, my daily tasks during, depending on the season. It's usually just the grind of meeting with guys one-on-one for discipleship. I meet with 3 to 5 guys at any given time for discipleship. I lead a Bible study once a week. I'm meeting with the Student Leadership Council, who's planning a lot of the events, planning the retreats out, and then just kind of overall keeping my eyes out for ways in which we can help any of the individuals who hang around our student center throughout the week. You know, how can I build a relationship with them? How can I have an intentional conversation, invite them into a Bible study or something to where, you know, they're not just receiving messages about the faith from the pulpit only. Like, mm-hmm. we're giving them lots and lots of opportunities to make an active choice to place Christ at the center of their life.
That's awesome. And obviously, you're kind of the pioneers of doing this for you and for this campus. So you probably don't know exactly what the future is going to look like. But this is a full time job for all three of the missionaries. Wow, yes. So that's really awesome. I don't think many, not every campus is going to have the privilege of having three full time missionaries just to serve them. And especially since you all are the ones who went to this campus as well. So that's kind of a unique way to be able to minister and talk with the students. But you said 9 Bible studies a week. That's a lot. So do you lead one? Do the girls, the other missionaries lead them?
Catherine leads one, Veronica leads 2, and then the rest are students.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you have the student council of people. Would the idea be with the student council who are helping plan the events that they might grow into the roles of missionary in the future? Is that kind of like the training to, you know, possibly, you know, move up?
Yeah, so we keep our eyes out whenever we're forming all of our people. And the idea, we kind of got this from this group in Milwaukee. Actually, the Milwaukee Archdiocese has their own diocesan-based missionaries that do similar things to Focus, except they're based throughout the diocese. And that kind of gives us a pathway forward of what we're looking at about how to grow. And so, yeah, the idea, because Veronica, Catherine, and I, we were all involved in this ministry. So the idea behind the missionary program is that it's a win-win-win. It's a win for the campus and the students. It's a win for the missionaries themselves, because in the process of forming others, they themselves are becoming super lay people. So whenever they leave, whatever parish they end up at, they're going to be really strong. And then it's also a win for the geographical area, for the parish itself, and for the diocese. So all of the work that we're doing with these college students, you know, it's affecting them directly, but it's also, you know, building up this community for long-term growth. So that's the idea behind it.
I will say, definitely working in young adult ministry, that's like the number one challenge, is trying to integrate the young adults into parish life a little bit more, because sometimes it can be a little bit like, oh, I just want to hang out with the young adults. I'm like, no, we need to grow up, and we need to be part of active members of this parish in other ways, help volunteer, you know, just show up to parish-wide events. So we're constantly trying to make sure and mimic the events that are happening at the parish. Obviously, you're working extremely closely with like the parish staff. So what kind of things do you all do for integration with, you know, broader church events?
Yeah, that was my entire summer, was just building relationships with lots of parishioners. It kind of happened because we were trying to redo our student center. And we shared that in a meeting, a town hall with all of our parishioners. And the amount of people who came up after me and told me, like, we want to help with this. Like, we'll donate this, and we provide the skill set for this and all the tools and all these things. And then it kind of just set a bunch of stuff in motion to where I was meeting with tons of parishioners over the summer, so I could actually know all of our core people who are doing the work. So that's a huge part. But also, Josh, the missionary who was with us last year, his wife, Victoria, I've also been with her for the last 4 years at the campus ministry. She's our receptionist and safe environment coordinator and communications person. So she being in that position makes it really, really integrated, because whenever the parish is figuring out communication for general things, and you know, all of the parishioners, when they come to the office, they see her, they know her, they feel like this is, you know, the college students are here. So it's very integrated in that way.
That's awesome. Yeah. Be good friends with your communications director at your parish. That helps a lot.
And Josh and Victoria, they're married, and they also teach at our Sunday school for the youth. And they come to our community nights every once in a while. I ask them to give them a talk or to hang out with some people. And it's just good for the college students to be friends with, you know, people who are right after college, to kind of see what that looks like.
In your experience, do you find that the students that end up at the campus ministry, are they looking for community, what do you think that they're mostly looking for when they come?
Yeah, I think anyone who makes their way to our campus ministry, and we make it as easy as possible having things after Sunday nights, because Sundays they already feel obligated enough to get there. They might not even realize what they're looking for is those relationships. So definitely the first thing is relationship, and that's our entire fall semester. It's just building relationships in these small settings, you know, sharing testimonies and things that pique their interest about the gospel, and giving them soft invites about what that looks like. You know, what does it actually look like for me to imitate Christ? What does it look like for me to put him at the center of my life and for my schedule to be oriented around that? But they're looking for a relationship first with other people, and then as we minister to them as the hands and feet of Christ and they experience some of that love, then we can point them to the reason why we have this love is because of Christ.
And obviously, again, UNT is a very large campus, and they're mostly not going to be Catholic. Do you do any work to try to get non-Catholics or very fallen away Catholics, very minimally practicing Catholics who may not show up on Sunday, you know, to Mass, to kind of let them know that you're there and interest them in coming to an event? Or is that something we're working on?
Honestly, right now, as we're building up from COVID, our main practice is if we just get the people who even feel obligated, if we set them on fire, then later on when we're pushing out onto campus a lot more, it'll take care of itself. So right,
I like
now
that. We'll start from home and work out. That's a good idea. We're just in our final minutes here on the Good News Show, in our segment with Sam McArag, who is the head campus missionary at St. John Paul II University Parish in Denton. You can go to their website, by the way, jp2denton2.org, jp2denton.org. And in our last couple of minutes, Sam, I want to make sure we talk about I Give Catholic, the campaign that's going on right now, because you've told us a lot about the good work that you are doing there to minister to college students. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening right now have kids in college or know people who have kids in college and are, you know, concerned about keeping the faith in college. And so they're probably thinking, well, I want to help support your guys' efforts. So talk about I Give Catholic and how people listening can help out.
Yeah. So our I Give Catholic page, if you just search JP2Denton, just like on our website, you can find us. It has a little bit of our story on there, some of the history about how the campus ministry has evolved, because it's been there since the 80s, but it became a parish in 2012. And then now it's kind of blowing up, especially after COVID. Campus ministry costs money to run. It costs a lot of the time and energy, but there's a lot of people who are very willing to do it. I like to say very often that I think there's no shortage of resources in our area, especially, but it's a matter of being able to cast a vision behind that. And so if you went to our I Give Catholic page, you could see kind of the video that we have on there. It's kind of themed around Made for More. It's kind of showing this progression of, you know, a freshman shares a testimony, a junior shares a testimony, and then there's the couple, Josh and Victoria, who share their testimony, kind of painting that progression of, like, what are college students actually experiencing when they go to college? Mm-hmm. If, you know, my son or daughter or my friend's son or daughter is going to college, like, what does campus ministry actually look like? And I think if you went onto that page, checked out the video and the story, that you would get a feel for what that actually looks like. So that's at JP2Denton on I Give Catholic. If you search for that, you'll find us.
Awesome. So make sure you check that out. Well, probably since both of our topics today have to do with I Give Catholic, I will post it on our local Facebook group. If you're not part of it, GRNDFW on Facebook, and we can link it there so that you can find it even more easily and help give to the campus ministry. Just a couple minutes remaining with you, Sam. Is there anything else or any particular, I don't know, stories or anything that you would like to share with us about your time there, either as a student or as a missionary at the St. John Paul II University Parish in Denton?
Yeah. The one thing I think I would share is just an encouragement for anyone at any age to figure out what your role is playing in the church right now. I like to say that it takes a village, and the village doesn't exist because we're all very spread out nowadays. But if people are actively looking for those things, that kind of cross-generational teaching, which is what we're all about at the University Parish, like, I truly think that that kind of collaboration in all areas of the church is what's going to be needed for the light of Christ to shine present in North Texas. Mm-hmm. So
awesome. And final question, you said you started with the jazz program at UNT. It didn't end up, you know, finishing with that, but do you ever find a way to integrate jazz skills into your campus ministry?
You know, I play for Mass twice a week, and I play praise and worship once a week, so I definitely do. And then on occasion for meditations and stuff, I write some music there. So it's not the most jazzy, but
you also throw come up with an event at the campus ministry that's like jazz themed, just so that you can like pull it out. I'm sure you'll find lots of jazz fans when you do that. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Sam, for joining us. And again, go to their website. And I'm assuming once I Give Catholic officially starts, you might have something linked on the parish website as well to find
it's already up there.
Oh, perfect. Even better. JP2Denton.org, JP2Denton.org. Again, that 2 is a number, and you should be able to find it pretty easily there to donate and find out. And if you also know any college students who are going, is it really only covering UNT now, or does it still TWU students come and hang out
as well?
There's
a lot of TWU students there too, yeah.
Awesome. So either of those campuses up in Denton, make sure that you point them in the direction of St. John Paul II. Again, jp2denton.org. Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us. And we pray that the rest of the semester goes very smoothly. I know it's going to be very stressful post-Thanksgiving with finals for all the students. So extra prayers for everybody involved with campus ministry. This is the Good News Show being hosted by Cecil Anderson in place of Dave Palmer today. And we will be back after this break to talk about more things I Give Catholic here on the Good News Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dave Palmer with a reminder of our upcoming Christmas Share-a-thon, Monday, December 2nd through Friday, December 6th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each of those 5 days. The theme is Rejoice, and we hope that you will tune in, make your pledge of support, and then rejoice because you have done so much to help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ and His Holy Catholic Church across North Texas. Please also remember to pray for and promote the Christmas Share-a-thon. Thank you very much for your support.
The immigration attorneys with McGregor Noblad in Dallas, Texas are new sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. They're redefining the way attorneys represent their clients. They invite you to call them to speak directly with an attorney about any immigration-related question you might have. To learn more about the immigration services offered by McGregor Noblad, you can visit them online at mcgregorfirm.com or by phone at 214-720-9555. That's 214-720-9555.
Spark up your holiday cheer with the Christmas Tour of Homes. Tour a festive mix of historical homes at the 40th anniversary Candlelight Christmas in Ryan Place. Home tours are Saturday, December 7th from noon to 9 p.m. and Sunday, December 8th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Ryan Place neighborhood in Fort Worth. This year's event will include Santa, a Polar Express kids train, musical groups, pop-up shops, and horse-drawn carriage rides. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit RyanPlaceFortWorth.com.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your financial decisions? With the Knights of Columbus, you can pursue financial stability, but more importantly, you can do so in a way that is compatible with the Catholic teaching. For more than 140 years, they have helped families guard their financial future. Today, they have expanded their offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Your faith can inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. You can learn more by calling Chris Stark at 844-656-1492.
A Patriotic Rosary will be held on Monday, November 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. at St. Patrick Cathedral in Fort Worth. Our church, country, and families are facing many challenges. Strong faith and prayers are desperately needed to overcome the many evils before us and nourish the hope for peace in our hearts and country. All are invited to attend this powerful prayer hour and pray to our Blessed Mother that she will guard and protect our country from those who wish to destroy it and bring God's influence to our leaders.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company and want to explore options that align with your faith and values? There is an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful Catholics that never fund immoral medical services such as abortion and transgender surgeries. Prices start as low as $85 per month for a single and $512 for families. Call 844-719-2356 today or go to joinshs.com, a sponsor of the GRN.
And welcome back to the Good News Show on our second segment here. I'm Cecil Anderson filling in for Dave Palmer, who is collecting his daughter at Benedictine College in Kansas right now and will be returning in the next couple of days. So I am filling in and I hope that you all are doing well on this Thanksgiving week and you've gotten all of your supplies you need for cooking or if you're going somewhere else that you're all ready and have safe travels. We are going to be spending the second half of the show talking again about I Give Catholic, but we're switching dioceses. We went from Fort Worth Diocese and we're going to go over to the Dallas Diocese now. We're covering all of our bases today. And I want to thank Katie Kaiser, the Director of Communications from the Diocese of Dallas, who set this interview up to talk to Charlene Neihart, who organized it for the diocese, which is a pretty big job, I think. So I'm excited to hear how she did all this. And we're also going to be talking to one of the recipients of the I Give Catholic campaign, Bertha DeBassiani, who is the Director of St. Raphael Retreat Center in Dallas, which we have gotten to go out and do a live broadcast at. And it's really beautiful. So I'm excited to talk about from both ends, from both how it gets all set up and to the recipients. So let's go ahead and talk to Charlene. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So first off, talk a little bit about your role and how you got involved with setting up the I Give Catholic campaign.
It kind of was a, hey, we want to do I Give Catholic. And this happened last year, actually. And I'm I told my boss, sure, I'll do that. And so we just kind of took it over. Last year, we were lucky to have 37 organizations join iGift Catholic in our Diocese of Dallas and saw some good momentum. And we said, let's do this again. Let's see what if we can do it bigger and better. And so this year, we have 44 organizations, parishes, schools, and ministries, including both of our seminaries, Holy Trinity and Redemptoris Mater, who are participating and hoping to get some funds to help, you know, with different programs, tuition assistance, maybe somebody needs a new AC, and, you know, go from there.
That's awesome. So for anyone who's listening who, because since it is only the second year for the Diocese of Dallas to be doing this, can you talk a little bit about what exactly iGive Catholic is and for the people who are listening?
Sure. It's a national program that is takes place on Giving Tuesday, which is the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is wonderful. And iGive Catholic believes in giving back and giving Catholic. So it was started on the East Coast. Right now it has 50 over 50 dioceses nationwide and in Puerto Rico participating. And it's just a way for the Catholic community to give back Catholic. Here in Dallas, like I said, we have 44 parishes, schools, and ministries participating. Everything that you can think of, from pro-life to your local school, your local parish, to, like I said, the seminaries, to the retreat center, just all sorts of different programs. And I encourage people to go to the iGive Catholic website, dallas.igivecatholic.org, to view all 44 and view their videos, see what they're asking for, see what their goals are, and help where you can.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a really well-made, you know, website that you've put together here, that you've helped put together with all the information. So I think people will find out a lot at that dallas.igivecatholic.org. But how do you go about, like, again, this is the second year, you've got a large amount of participation, really, for the second year. Talk about how, you know, you pitch it to the churches and the schools and the different ministries, like, about how to participate in this, like, why the benefits of it.
The benefits are you're reaching just the Catholic organizations, you know, or the Catholic people who are wanting to give Catholic. So that's a great benefit. It's also the way the program's set up. We really take and do a lot of the marketing, or iGive Catholic has done a lot of the marketing. And so it's very easy for the organizations to participate. And so we have sent out these emails called Just One Thing, and it's just one thing that they have to do that week. And as long as they keep track with it, it's really easy for the organization to be able to participate and reach their audience. And then with everything that the diocese does, you know, here we're doing the interview with Guadalupe Radio, but we also had a full page ad in the Texas Catholic, you know, we're doing social media. So we're assisting in that way to get the word out.
It just helps kind of refine and organize, you know, the ways that everyone can give to our Catholic organizations, which I think is really awesome, because I think everyone, we get inundated with a lot of information sometimes, so I think having this is really helpful for everyone who's listening. And of course, genius to have it on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving when you're feeling very thankful, you're still kind of recovering from your turkey comas, and you're like, let's go and let's start supporting.
If you're feeling a bit nostalgic, you know, Bertha and I were talking about this, thinking back on my own life, I would want to give to the retreat center because that's where I did Marriage Encounter. I would want to give to the Pines because that's where my son went to, you know, summer camp. So if you're feeling a bit nostalgic and you maybe have forgotten some of these places, look online, see where you would want to give, and maybe the Spirit will speak to you in some way.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. And I want to bring into the conversation Bertha De Bisciani, who is the director of St. Raphael Retreat Center in Dallas, who is no stranger to Catholic Radio. Has been on a couple of times before, and we got to go out and do a live broadcast in the past year or so at the Retreat Center, which is really beautiful. And I'm sure a lot of people are listening right now, like, oh yeah, I did that retreat there. I did, you know, my marriage encounter, whatever it may be. But Bertha, first off, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So real quick, before we get into your participation with iGive Catholic, talk a little bit about the Retreat Center and the history of it.
Well, it's a hidden secret, but we want everybody
we're trying to tell
to
everybody
know about it. So we have been there for 30 years. We have been serving the Catholic community for 30 years already. We started back in 1994 with deaconing formation and engage encounter workshops and retreats, I guess, back then. And we have come a long way. Now we have a lot of ACTS retreats. Pretty much everybody has been in one ACT retreat. Mm-hmm. We continue forming the deacons. I mean, they form there. They have their classes there for 6 years on a row. And it's, we also have marriage encounter workshops. And we have other ministries from the diocese coming to have trainings or train the trainer. And we have days of reflections from the high schools, the Catholic high mm-hmm. schools. We also have staff retreats from the different parishes within the diocese. We are open to social events now mm-hmm. since, I don't know if you remember, we do have now our catering division
yes,
called Cinco Panes.
Of course I remember because I ate some delicious food.
Thank you. So now we are offering events on site. So we're preparing our patios, our terraces. So to be able to offer that space for us, other type of celebrations, anniversaries, if we do have the space. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, we are pretty booked pretty much every weekend of the year, but during the week, we're pretty open. Mm-hmm. So we continue to serve, whoever wants to put together a program because we are a hosting facility so far. However, we're putting together our own sponsored programs like confirmation retreats, mm-hmm. women's retreats, and hopefully a kids for the summer, a kids camp for
oh,
the summer
so
next
fun.
Year. So we see that need, so we're working together to put it. We're putting it together. So hopefully we'll have good news in our next
yes, that'd be so awesome to yes. hear about. And it is a hidden gem, I think, in the Diocese yes. of Dallas. And so hopefully fairly soon we won't be able to say that it's hidden. It's just a gem. You know,
yes,
everyone knows about
gem. It. It is.
And so from your perspective, mm-hmm. Bertha, this is your second year participating. Did you do it last year as
correct,
well?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I imagine that this is very helpful to help get the word out as well about St. Raphael.
Definitely. This is a wonderful tool from the diocese. Thank you, Charlene, for doing this for us. Now it's super easy to donate. To Dallas I Give Catholic. We certainly have our button our donor button in our website, but that doesn't make any difference. This does because Charlene put together a lot of resources and tools for us so we can engage more people. Sometimes we don't have time to do this, but with her help, now we have everything there. Mm. It's just a matter of, sit and think what we can do and how to engage our donors. They do promote this event for us through the Texas Catholic, through this, for example, we're here today to promote this mm-hmm. and in social media as well. So there are so many ways to reach out to our donors, to our friends. We definitely are very happy to have this tool. This is our second year, as you did mention it, and she makes this easy for us.
Mm. And as someone who's very busy, I'm sure with all the work that you are doing, ease is what everyone wants to
yes,
hear.
Because,
it's like you said, it's hard to sometimes be doing all the fundraising in the midst of doing the work. We feel that too in our, working in Catholic radio. And yes, we have the donate button on our website too, but we have to do the share-a-thons and other events to, be like, remember people that we do still need funds. And that is a thing. We're talking all about I Give Catholic, for the Diocese of Dallas. The website where you can see all the different parishes and ministries that are participating this year is dallas.igivecatholic.org, dallas.igivecatholic.org. You can go and look and see all of the different schools and ministries and parishes that you can give to. And I'm talking to Charlene Neihart, who helped organize this for the diocese the last couple of years. And how long in advance do you have to start preparing this, Charlene? Like how soon, for next year, would you have to start after this year?
So we kind of start over the summer. So we start over the summer building our own website. What is going to be the new image? What do we want the focal point to be? Obviously, this being like the year of the Eucharist and the Synod, that depended on what images we were going to use. So we talk about the theme that we wanted and everything. Then in August, once everybody's kind of come back from summer breaks and are really focusing, that's when we start reaching out to the parishes, schools, and ministries and say, hey, registration's about to open. Let's start signing up and reaching out. And then they have about 2-3 months to sign up, and then it's just a go from there. So it really kind of takes momentum in the fall.
That's awesome. And I'm sure you sleep very well after after it's all said and done.
Well, we have to count in because we do, you are able to give offline too.
Oh, wonderful.
So if you
okay.
want to give to your local parish or school, or even you want to drop by the St. Raphael and you want to see what, you know, they're possibly trying to build, go by, visit, and you can hand Bertha a check or cash.
She'd be very happy to receive that.
And she can count that towards her I Give Catholic goal. And it's great to see that happen too. Mm-hmm. So it's online and offline.
I'm curious, for most of the campaigns, for the different ministries, will they have like for a particular project that they're trying to fulfill, or is it going to be general, like just we need donations just for general, you know, day to day, or is it we're trying to build this, or we're trying to be able to hire this person for staff? Like it varies.
Okay. It actually varies, but some of the bigger projects and things that we've seen happening this year is for DCYC, which is the youth conference for high schoolers. You can sponsor a child to be able to attend, a high schooler to be able to attend DCYC in February. So they have a partial coverage of the registration to a full coverage of the registration, which is a huge support for those children or those teenagers that are in, you know, areas that they can't necessarily afford that. And so you're helping the future Catholics go forward. One of our parishes is looking for helping to build their new church. That is actually St. Augustine. They need a new church and they are only halfway at their goal. So helping and support them, it's helping them build a new church. You know, I think right now they're having to do mass in the gym. So help them. It's not other parishes, schools, they're upping security or they need new technology. Some of it's tuition assistance. Some of it is just to help with their everyday functioning needs on these ministries. If you give to Bloom, which is the Pregnancy Help Center, they have new mother care packages and layouts that that you can at a certain level provide. So
that's awesome. Bertha, for St. Raphael Retreat Center, what is particular is the funds we going to?
Okay, we have come a long way, but there is still a lot of work to do. We will continue refurbishing and renovating our casas. They are 50-year-old buildings. And at the same time, we want to create a spiritual landscape. We want to create a living space that supports the mission of St. Raphael's and also to promote the spiritual enrichment and welcoming environment. So we're working really hard towards our gardens, planting a lot of trees and making it look so beautiful that people, when they get there, they want to stay there forever.
Yeah, that's would be awesome. just keep coming retreat after retreat and stay
that's
here.
Right.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully everyone who is listening right now will go and look up on dallas.igivecatholic.org to find St. Raphael Retreat Center and all the other places. And I think, Charlene, when you said earlier about that people might find, you know, churches or organizations that really helped them when they were, you know, in the past, and it's kind of I was baptized in this parish and I want to support them. I see that they're needing help. It's kind of like raising awareness and binding the whole diocese together too, I think.
Yes, yeah. We've got parishes. I mean, we've got St. Mary of Sherman who's, you know, participating. So we've got all sorts of diocesan organizations from all across.
Mm-hmm. That's really awesome. Again, the website is dallas.igivecatholic.org. We just have a few more minutes remaining with our segment here with Charlene Neihart from the diocese, who helped organize the I Give Catholic campaign, and also Bertha DeBiasiani, director of St. Raphael Retreat Center in Dallas. And so make sure you can go and find out about all the different ministries that are participating and come back on. They got to go to the website on December 3rd for I Give Catholic on Giving Tuesday. And you can unite with a lot of other people from all around to build generously. And I'm curious to know if you have like a scene from like, do you think that the people in the diocese are more aware of this campaign this year than they were? You know, last year was the first year. It's brand new. You're trying to get the word out. I can only imagine that task. And of course, you have great lines of communication through the diocese. But do you think now more people are like, oh, yes, the I Give Catholic campaign?
We're hoping to build it. Yes, I hope more people know about I Give Catholic. Our challenge here in the Diocese of Dallas, and I'm sure Diocese of Fort Worth faces the same thing, is North Texas has North Texas Giving Day.
Yes.
And so
yes, we do.
Everybody knows about North Texas Giving Day. Not everybody knows about iGift Catholic, mm-hmm. whereas other dioceses across the nation, they don't have that challenge. So we really want to encourage people, if you do give to iGift Catholic, maybe post on social media, hey, I gave to iGift Catholic. Mm-hmm. Support and let your friends know that you gave to iGift Catholic. And that way, word spreads. And that way, we're not just this, what is this?
Exactly. Yeah, no, and I think it's what's so great. And yes, obviously North Texas Giving Day has this great purpose as well. But it's really lovely to be able to see all the Catholic organizations and make it very pointed. And hopefully more and more people are going to be doing the hashtag I Give Catholic exactly. this year as well. Let's talk a little bit about logistics, Charlene, for anyone who's wanting to donate. Is there an email list for this so that you can find out updates, or do they have to just be on an email list for one of the organizations that are sending them out? Like, how does that work?
We really focus on the organizations having their own email list. I know if you belong to the Bishop's Annual Appeal, you probably got an email blast. I know the Pines did an email blast because I got one. So that's how you're kind of hearing about it. We really depend on the organizations to email their people who would support. But yes, if you follow Facebook, if you get the Texas Catholic, that's how you're kind of hearing about it. There's not really an email blast that I do myself.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure everyone actually probably appreciates not another one. That's awesome. Go to dallas.igivecatholic.org. Each organization has set up a kind of like their own little page with some information. And how do you help them advise, like, on how, what to write up, what maybe what pictures or what to put to make kind of grab people's eyes?
We just really encourage them to tell a story. Mm-hmm. What are you wanting to raise the money for? Why should somebody give to you? You know, use a picture that's compelling, all that good stuff. And we really try to guide them with how to set it up. We highly encourage a video because so much can be told on a video. So.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes people see a short video they can watch is more than like a big article. They're like, okay, I can see this. And then you can also see the smiling faces of the people who are exactly. just very excited and doing good work across the diocese. We just have a couple minutes remaining with you ladies. First off, before I ask like my final questions, is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you want to make sure that we mention, Bertha or Charlene?
No, I think we have covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I just want to reiterate to everyone listening right now, dallas.igivecatholic.org is the website. And as we kind of mentioned and referred to in our first segment, the Diocese of Fort Worth is doing this as well. They're participating as well. So you can go. I actually was trying to find what their like short link was. But if you go to igivecatholic.org, I'm sure you can find the Diocese of Fort Worth pretty easily. They've got like a map of all of the dioceses. It's really taken off quite well. I don't know if you know Charlene, how long has it been going on?
I want to say it's over 10 years. I can't remember if it's 13 or 15, but it's over 10 years.
That's awesome. So it's a really beautiful way for us to learn more about what's going on in our diocese that we maybe didn't know about. Maybe you didn't know this one parish had a building project and they need some help, or you're talking about the groups like Bloom or the Pines who do a lot of great work for our women and our youth and the ways that you can support them. So make sure that you visit it. I will post a link on our local Facebook group too, so it's nice and easy for you to find, but it's a pretty easy URL as well, dallas.igivecatholic.org. I want to give you all each a last word to kind of just encourage people to participate. And I'm going to start with Bertha to talk about St. Raphael Retreat Center and all the great work that they do there and how if you giving to them will help for their future endeavors and beautifying the already very beautiful Raphael Retreat Center, but maybe updating it a little bit more and adding more beautiful trees.
Yes, and please, if your life was transformed through a retreat at the St. Raphael Retreat Center, please, please help us. if you have attended any event, any retreat, any day of reflection, please, please come back and visit us. We have transformed the place. We want you to see it. If you were there like 15 years ago, come back. You'll be surprised. And please just help us to reach our dreams. We are constantly dreaming on how can we make this place even more beautiful. Mm. Please come visit.
Yes, definitely. And visit their website too if you want to utilize the beautiful resource that they are for an event, especially during the week, since they have a lot of openings then. Go to straphaeldallas.org, straphaeldallas.org, and you can find out all the information to contact Bertha to book that. And hopefully there will be a lot of participation in the I Give Catholic campaign for you all this year. And finally, Charlene, who has worked very hard to highlight all of these amazing organizations. I love it. You have the people who are on their feet doing all the work to minister, and then you're making sure that their voices are being heard, which is awesome. It's a good team effort. I like it.
It is. Speaking to those who have a spiritual side, this is a time to reflect and to give back. End of year giving. It's the giving season. So this is a great way to kick off the giving season to find somebody to give to. Speaking to those who may be business minded, you may want to give a year end tax gift that will, you know, count towards 2024. What better way than to give Catholic and give local?
Mm, I 1000% agree. That's awesome. Thank you so much for all of your work, both of you ladies, in the different areas that you are in. You're all the hands and feet of the body of Christ. Right, we got to do all of our roles, so we greatly appreciate all the effort that you all put in to kind of build up our Dallas diocese, and of course we have the Fort Worth diocese as well. I'm going to give out that URL one more time for I Give Catholic. It's going to be dallas.igivecatholic.org, and you can find the list of all the ways that the Diocese of Dallas is participating, and you can also find the Fort Worth diocese on igivecatholic.org to find out all the organizations that they have listed as well. We're really blessed being in the middle of these two great dioceses, very vibrant Catholic community, and there's lots of ways that we can give back. So again, thank you so much, Bertha and Charlene, for joining us.
Thank you.
And that just about does it for the Good News Show today. A couple minutes remaining. I'm going to remind you about a couple of things happening very soon. First off, we have Share-a-thon starting next week, next Monday, starting at 7 a.m. bright and early. We'll be on the air fundraising to keep Catholic radio on the air. Speaking of giving locally and Catholic, we will be going until Friday at 7 p.m. And we have a lot of amazing incentives to give. And of course, it's just all going to help make sure that your local Catholic radio station is on the air. Dave always does get a little bit competitive and loves when the first caller is from North Texas. So just going to put it out there. If you want to be the first caller, call in. The number is 800-476-3311. And our theme is going to be Rejoice, because it's our Christmas Share-a-thon and we're going to be playing Christmas music, and it's going to be a wonderful time. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I am still looking for a couple of meal donors for our volunteers on Thursday. We have the volunteers in all day, and we feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, depending on what shift they're in. And we like to keep our volunteers very well fed. And so if you can help us out with that, whether it be sending a check, delivering food, or whatever it is that you're able to do, go ahead and email me, kath@grnonline.com, kath@grnonline.com. And I want to also thank our first guest, Sam Macarag, who was the head campus missionary, I can't even read my own notes, at St. John Paul II University Parish in Denton. They're doing some great work there, ministering to the college students up in Denton from both TWU and UNT. So make sure that you look them up during I Give Catholic as well. That's going to be next Tuesday. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope that you have a most amazing Thanksgiving, and safe travels if you're traveling. And remember to thank God for this beautiful time of the year. God bless.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
Hi, my name is Tracy Santangelo. I'm a certified nurse midwife, the owner of BirthPoints Women's Health and Birth Center in Las Colinas, and a new sponsor here on the GRN. At BirthPoint, we provide midwifery services and educational classes for women and families. To learn more about our midwifery services and our team, our website is birthpoint.com, that's BirthPoint with an E, or we could be reached by phone at 972-215-6934, BirthPoint, delivering your legacy naturally.
Are you suffering with grief due to the loss of a loved one? St. Monica Catholic Church in Dallas invites all those suffering such a loss to its grief support group on Wednesdays starting February 5th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The grief support group meetings will be held once a week for 10 weeks at the parish. If you'd like more information, please call the parish office at 214-358-1453 for more information. Their website is stmonicachurch.org. Don't lose faith. Jesus loves you.
Hi, my name is Emily Vines. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a foreigner student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can incorporate their Catholic faith into a variety of subject matter. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. Again, that's homeschoolconnections.com.
Join us in praying an Our Father for the intentions of the Holy Father, our bishops and clergy, and those of religious life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.